Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to Sunday morning service with the Fisherman Ministry here in South Carolina. Let's worship the Lord.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah.
Page 33 in your songbook.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God.
33.
Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah to our God. Every praise is to our God. God my Father, God my Provider, God my Healer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Jesus, Savior. Jesus, Deliverer. Jesus, Redeemer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Every praise, every praise, every praise, every praise is to our God.
In the secret, in the quiet place, page number 67.
In the stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you, 'cause I want to know you. I want
all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy.
Colossians 1, if y'all want to head that way. Been spending some time in Colossians, which is always a good thing. I'll just start at verse 1. 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Man, that's just encouraging right there. Grace and peace unto you from the Father and from Christ. Since, verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you,
since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And the fruit that it brings forth is love, right? And love is, what, an apple's not just red. An apple's sweet and juicy and tender. And love is not just a feeling. Love is peace. Love is joy, long-suffering, patience, meekness, gentleness, kindness. It comes out in a lot of ways. And that isn't something, it is something that we pursue actively, but that is the fruit of the Spirit and is outworking through us. 7, as you learn also of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I think I hit this verse a couple of weeks ago. That you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And people say, you know, what's the will of God in my life? And you got the old 4 spiritual laws track. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, God has a wonderful plan. That's true. Not necessarily for you or me as individuals. God has a plan and you're welcome to get on board. God has an army in lockstep on this earth. And if we choose to join up and sign away our wills and our lives, then yeah, it is a wonderful plan and it is good. And I was thinking on this verse, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. What is the will of God for you? It says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Ooh. Let's go to the Merriam-Webster definition. Now, for those of you who came out of hardcore Baptist or Pentecostal holiness, sanctification is a word that makes you want to get out and go eat lunch and then take a nap afterward because it seems unattainable, which it is in the flesh. Merriam-Webster, sanctification. The state of growing in divine grace as a result of Christian commitment after baptism or conversion. The state of growing in divine grace as a result of Christian commitment after baptism or conversion. That's pretty good. The sanctification that you have is the outworking of his love in you, which is available to you because of the faith he gave you, which we just hosed that all up. So he went a step better, and we heard this over and over since the conference. It's his faith. It's the, right, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We place ourselves in Christ's faith, and Christ's faith is all sufficient. And when our faith falters, his doesn't. And so we always, always, always have that anchor within the veil. We always have access to the Father. Okay, that's the end of 9, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I don't want to be patient, and I don't want to suffer. And when I suffer, I want to suffer barely just a little bit for a moment and then be all better, right? But that's long suffering. That's patience. And, you know, I was kind of sitting on the porch this morning and trying not to rock on the cat, but not real hard because I don't like that cat much anyway. Now I was thinking of you, Linda, you know, like you went through this thing with the flood. Oh my gosh, you know, and you know, I was thinking back, look, our stories are our stories. This is the life we have and what we know. And I was thinking about you and the, you know, you got like the bottom couple of feet of your walls washed out and your furniture was trashed and your business was still rolling. And then we start rolling into tax season and things, and this is a great thing for you. The business is escalating, but the walls are still messed up, you know, and I watched you suffer a little and I watched you in patience deal with it. And now you know something better, right? I mean, you knew the love and the grace of God before. Yeah, and impressing through that, you set a good example for the people around you. Not to say you did it perfect. I'm sure you didn't. And I'm sure in your not doing it perfectly, somebody probably yanked you up at some point. I don't know that for a fact. I'll just say for myself, I can imagine how that went. But that thing that the body edifying itself in love is the body setting an example within itself the body for the body. You know, we put one hand out to the Lord and one hand out to our brother, like that old, who did that song? Brother Loves Travel and Salvation Show. Come on, you're older than dirt. You know that. What's it? No, it wasn't Creed's Clearwater. Anyway, you know, you put one hand out to the Lord, put one hand out to your brother, and we become a divine conduit of grace. That's all right. We'll hit it later. Grace, maybe your money, maybe your time, whatever. The body working together, edifying itself in love. And the body standing in the faith of Christ, not in our own faith and not in our own will, and not following a wonderful plan that he set out for me as an individual. I mean, if you go into that passage in Colossians, some of that stuff that Paul's talking about is the right and the inheritance of the preordained apostles. Well, that may be true for them, but you know what? It could be true for me, right? Because I'm given the same faith. I may have not made the decision as far back as they made it in time, but I've made the same decision. And all that goodness of God, it's all available to me. You look at, wasn't it Elijah, who was a prophet? Elijah was a Tishbite. I mean, Elijah wasn't preordained. Elijah just read the word and went, well, it says here, if Israel does this, God's going to do that. And he, quite simply, he believed it. And then he did an amazing thing. He went in front of the king and said, it's not going to rain anymore. Which is, you know, it's like putting your neck on a chopping block. But he absolutely believed to the point of following through on it. And that's a belief I want. That's me for today.
I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. Not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, and his promise will endure. His joy is gonna be my strength. Though the darkness may last for the night, his joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame. Laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes.
Well, sometimes you can't go wrong. Long suffering. It has nothing to do with pain. It has to do with allowing for other people's shortcomings, allowing for the Lord to do a work in your life and on your heart. It's a choice that is nothing more important to you than the Lord and His ways, learning them and knowing them. And that's an important aspect of the description of agape, which Paul spends a long dissertation on in 1 Corinthians 13. And this is, you know, this is a great chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Colossians. And the there's just so much good meaty stuff. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. I'm not Jesus. You want to have a proper perspective, because chapters 1 and 2 are really just a compendium of Christian doctrine. It's just it's really meaty, and it's how the operation of the gospel works in our lives. You come to chapter 3, and to have the proper perspective on all of that, yet called upon to make a choice again, set your affections on things that are above and not on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. If you have chosen Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior, you are now hid with Christ in God. And you wake up one morning and realize that you really don't feel all that anymore. He didn't move. And He's right there. So you can take care of that, because He's at hand. He's right there. You can fix that situation. There's no reason to walk around feeling like you're kicked out and not part of the kingdom. God does not do that. That's the enemy. The enemy talking to you. Who comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came that you might have life, and more abundantly. I don't know about you, but that's a promise I want to latch on to. That's what I want. I want life, and I want it more abundantly. I want to be centered on what He's centered on. I want to be doing what He wants me to be doing. I want to be, because I can, pleasing to Him. In Jesus Christ, I can be pleasing unto the Father. But if there was anything to sit down and meditate on, it's to set your affections on things above and not on the earth. The earth is cursed, it's going to die. You set your affections on things that are above. You're setting them on being hid in Christ with God. And it is a wash in peace and trust and doubts put away and unbelief put away and trust in the Lord to accomplish that which He has set forth in you. Because He's good. All good things come down from the Father of lights. He loves you. And He has set you on this path for your benefit and not for your destruction.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am confounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, 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 your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, 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 your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising, all the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through, and I feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, 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 your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, 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 your love makes me sing.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yep. One of the things, and I'm going to probably go to Samuel, 1 Samuel. And I really want to go to chapter 30. And it's an interesting thing as I read this chapter. I didn't really even get all the way through. But some of the points that where David went forward in. And something happened to David that was very ugly. I mean, he was with the land of the Philistines. King Achish had gave him the land of Ziklag for him and his men at that point. He was in the land of the Philistines and stayed in the land of the Philistines because Saul was consistently chasing him down. Okay, and trying to kill him, and then he'd say a word, do something. Lord kept him in the midst of those things. Saul changed his mind, but, you know, whatever month, 2-3 months later, Paul changed his mind and goes after him again. And this was a consistent thing that happened. So David's there in the land of Ziklag. Now, the armies of the Philistines are going up against the Israelites, right? And David's with King Achish, and David kind of gets, was the guardian over King Achish. That means him and his men protected. The king was there to protect the king in this point, but all the princes told David, and I'm kind of summing this up, because if I read it all, it'd take a long time, so bear with me. So David is sent back to his land, him and his men, because all the princes are going, that's the one that killed Goliath, he ain't coming with us, lest he turn on us. All right, so he goes back, and he goes back to his land, and what happened was the Amalekites, they came, and they destroyed, I mean, they burned their city. They took their sons, their daughters, their wives, they took them all. Okay, they took them all, and burned up his city that was given to them. And it was an interesting thing, and I think I'll start in 30, and go forward, because it's very interesting how this plays out. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Two things that happened just right there. Two things that happened was the men, who did they blame? They blamed David. Did David do this? Was this David's fault at all? No, it wasn't David's fault. The Amalekites did this. The Amalekites did this. But the people, some of the people there, blamed David to the point that they were going to stone David. Now, it's an interesting thing because David could have easily made defense for himself. David could have easily blamed God. God, why did you let this happen to me? But he didn't do that either, did he? And see, when we get in those tough situations and when things, tribulation happens and all these kinds of things, our natural and carnal mind wants to do just that. Just like the people were blaming David or blame others. They might not say they're blaming God, but that's what they're doing. Or blaming the minister or whatever the case may be. But David did not do that. He knows that there's an enemy out there that comes to what? Paul was saying this morning, he comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But David didn't do any of those things. He could have very easily started making justification, getting pissed off at his guys, making great defense, blaming God. God, why'd you let this happen to me? No, he didn't do anything that. No, what did it say? It said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Okay? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. All right, see, one of the things that happened in the midst of that thing was David, even though it was a tough go. I mean, David had a tough go. I mean, he's running away from Saul. I think Steve, I don't know if it was in a Bible study or is it service. I don't know. It's kind of all mixed in. But he's talking about even sleep is of faith. Where David was, even though he had all this enemy coming to chase him down, David put his head to rest. And he's talking about a psalm. And it gave him a sleep sweet. As actually, I think in Proverbs, it wasn't a Bible study. But no, David encouraged himself in the Lord, even though it was tough where Paul chased him down. I mean, there was a time when he was a child, okay, and he's protecting his flock. A bear comes up. The Lord delivered him out of the hand of that. A lion comes up. The Lord delivered him out of the hand of that and all these things. But these were, I mean, these aren't things that I'm like, oh, I want to go face a freaking lion. Not going to happen. Just went to the zoo. Those are some big son of guns. Wouldn't want to do it. But what was strengthened there was the faith of Christ in David. See, David could encourage himself in the Lord because he had a confidence, not in his flesh, not in his ability. Okay? He had a confidence in the Lord and what he was able to do because he recognized that the Lord kept him from being killed by Saul. He recognized that the Lord delivered Goliath into his hand. He recognized that it was the Lord that delivered the Philistines into his hand. He recognized it was the Lord that delivered that bear into his hands and that lion into his hands. He recognized that it was not upon his ability or his strength. He recognized it was on all what the Lord was able to do. And see, that's something he could grab onto. That's something we can grab onto. And he didn't blame when the situation got tough and all those things. He didn't blame others. He didn't blame. No, he did not. He didn't blame the Lord. No, but he encouraged himself in the Lord because he understands that there's an enemy out there. He understands that there's an enemy out there coming to kill, steal, and destroy. But it's an interesting thing that starts to happen here. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Without fail recover all. All right, the Lord knows, I mean, David knows the Lord's ability to accomplish. He understands it. But one thing that David did not do, he didn't go out in presumption. Okay? I mean, he didn't go out in presumption. What did he do in that scenario? He sought the Lord on what to do. Okay? He sought the Lord on what to do. It's a very important thing. He wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go down, I'm going to kill those son of a guns and take back what is ours. This is not going to happen. But no. No, and went out in presumption and in his own strength and his own power to go after. No, he didn't do that at all. No, he humbled himself before in the sight of the Lord, and he sought direction on which way to take. What did the Lord say? Go pursue. You'll get all back. Delay. David did not delay. He did not delay. He believed the Lord. He believed the Lord for his promise in just that instant. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. So this guy fell sick 3 days. David runs into him, nurtures him back to health. He was the one running with the group that took his wives and children. Okay, it's an interesting thing that David, what he didn't do, I mean, the thing was not spelled out for David. The Lord said, go and pursue. And one of the things that David did was went and pursued, and here the Lord lays it out. David doesn't know how it's all going to lay out. He don't care. He believed God and the promise thereof and went after it. So here's this guy. Boom, opportunity, there it goes. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. So here's that servant to the Amalekite telling them all what the Amalekite's done. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. So the servant goes, yeah, I can bring you down right to these guys. But don't kill me and don't give me back to my master. I can bring you right back down to him. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And they were throwing a party, man. They just went and took a bunch of wives and children and spoil, and they were throwing down. the Amalekites were. And David smote them from twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughter, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David, and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. I mean, you got to think, these were people that at some point blamed David and wanted to stone David and blamed him for the thing that had happened. The Lord delivers and redeems this attack that happened. And the Lord gave him back all. Given back all. And David doesn't, he salutes them. He doesn't hold, blister them, blame them, and get on them for wanting to stone them at some point. No, none of those things. But the point that I wanted to bring up is this: how many times do we, and I look at this, how many times do we blame others, blame God, blame His ministers when things go awry or go wrong? And it has nothing to do with that except an enemy coming to kill, steal, or destroy. Or we ourselves are not taking heed to the Lord our God and His counsel, and we allow the enemy to come in to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay, because it's an important thing. It's an important thing. And what David did was he encouraged himself. And I'm looking at, you were talking about Linda's and the flood that kind of came, that happened there. I look at is how awesome the Lord moved mightily to bring that place back together. Whether she was up or down, or the case may be, our faith wavers, does not matter. One thing is glorified, is Jesus Christ and His ability. And Linda can walk away with that confidence of what the Lord is well able to accomplish. Okay, and then now we need to take hold on ourselves, and no matter what comes our way as a body, be encouraged as David was. In the midst of it, as David was in the midst of just absolute things falling apart at the wheel, your city's burned, your home's burned, your wives, your children are taken. Imagine that. And then people are blaming you because of it, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. See, we need to walk away with the confidence. The Lord has shown us what He's able to do in our lives. He's presented it to us. He's given us victory to grab a hold on. Grab a hold on. He's given us His faith. He's given us everything we need to go forward in Him. Everything we need. Everything. Okay? And we need to start choosing to believe Him for it, and trusting Him for it, and encouraging ourselves in the Lord for it. And not going out in presumption, but taking heed to the direction of the Lord and going forward His promise and what He has accomplished and what He is able to do. See, this story is for us to grab a hold on to. And it's something that's happened. It's for us to go forward in. And all the tribulations and the trials that the Lord has brought us all through, which we all had many. I know. I've had many. Y'all know. But has not the Lord brought us through them all? Amen. So I really don't care what goes on. Let's encourage ourselves in the Lord and what He has done. Let's not count on our faith. Man, that thing's wavering. That thing's up and down. But let's count on His faith that He put in us. Let's receive it. Let's receive it, man. That's something we can rest in. No matter what goes on, that's something we can absolutely rest in. Let's cast down that pride that tells us we know better, okay? When we're given advice. But no, let's take that advice. Let's submit ourselves unto Him. And let's receive the fullness of God's promise to us all. Let's go forward in His plan, His direction. And not a dang thing can stop us. Not nothing. No matter what issue you ever had, no matter what struggle, no matter what's that word? Where you messed up. I don't know. No matter how messed up you are, it doesn't matter. That's what He's died for. It just does not matter what the case is, because He is well able. And there is not anything that can keep you from receiving the goodness and the prize that He has for each and every one. Not anything that can stand in the way of that. Except ourselves and us choosing not to receive it. That's all it is. It's a choice. Just like love. You're talking about love. Love is not a feeling. It's an act of your will. Man, it's a choice. You were talking about agape love too. It's a choice. Talking about that long suffering. That is a choice. Okay? Sometimes that choice doesn't feel good. Sometimes that choice looks very freaking dreadful. It doesn't matter. When we choose the Lord, it's always good. And it's never turned to our bad. And He has revealed unto us, He has revealed unto us that He is trustworthy and that He means no evil for you. Amen. He cares for you. So let's grab a hold of it. We got the biggest prize of it all that God gave us, and that was Jesus. His sacrifice, His resurrection. God gave us the perfect gift. Let's go act like we want it. Amen. Let's go grab a hold of it. I'm done. Thank you, Lord.
Amazing grace. All right.
May the Lord bless us, each and every one.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.